Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the Lamb, who indeed was killed and on the third day rose again for our salvation. Amen. Our text today for the sermon is the Gospel from Mark 9. We pray. Oh, gracious Lord, always open our ears that we hear. Open our minds and hearts that we would receive your word. And Lord, accomplish in us what you desire with your word. Give us understanding and give us great faith and great love for you. And mold us to be servants as you are, to be the least of all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what do you think? Who is the greatest? Let's join the argument of the disciples in the gospel lesson. Just really, who is the greatest? We seem to like that argument. Who is the greatest baseball player ever? Well, some would say Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio. Who is the greatest quarterback of all time? Them are fighting words in Tennessee. Joe Montana. How about Tom Brady? Boo. How about Peyton Manning? I don't know. He needs another Super Bowl or two, I think. Argument. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest singer of all time? Tennessee? Maybe Elvis? Maybe Dolly Parton? I always kind of like Kenny Rogers. I don't think he's the greatest. Who's the greatest president of all time? Some would say George Washington. Maybe Thomas Jefferson. Maybe Abraham Lincoln. Ronald Reagan. What's the greatest state in the Union? Now, be careful. These are fighting words for me, too. Well, Tennessee's a great state. We have some Michigan people here. Let's see the Michigan people. That a great state? Keith, you still? Michigan's higher than Tennessee? Be bold. He shakes his head, yes. We got Wisconsin people. Wisconsin, are you out there? Bobby, where are you at? They're kind of shy. Carter, you're kind of shy today. Wisconsin, you're not really from there, though, are you? Who roots for Indiana? Come on, Lucans. There we go. Other Indiana folks. We all love our state, our home state, hopefully. Who's the greatest at First Lutheran today? What group or what person is the greatest? Who would go for the children's choir? Are they the greatest? Hear an hallelujah? That wasn't real resounding. How about the Board of Elders? Yes. Can I hear an hallelujah? We got nothing, elders, on that one. How about our teachers at First Lutheran, our principal? Can I hear an hallelujah? Oh, wow. Very good. I would have to agree, especially the kindergarten teacher. How about the organist, Wayne Poor, our adult choir, too, our handbellers? Are they playing handbells today, Wayne? No? Well, you're not the greatest today, then, so you're not playing. And how about Pastor Buescher? I hear giggles and sneers. Please. This whole argument in Mark 9 of the greatest always makes me chuckle, makes me laugh. Grown men walking, arguing about who's the greatest, really? When it's so obvious in Mark 9 who the greatest of the greatest of the greatest really is, and who is the greatest at anything and everything that's right there with them. What's his name? Jesus Christ. He is the greatest at anything and everything. He's always been the greatest, is the greatest, will always be the greatest. And there's no second guessing, no argument. Don't have to think twice. Jesus, the greatest, is our theme. And we're not even second or third or fourth. We're way down there compared to him who's the greatest. And three things about the text today that say he's the greatest. We all know that. There's no argument. He's the greatest man. He has the greatest mission, and he has the greatest, greatest mercy for sinners. And this is Jesus, the greatest. He's the greatest man, the greatest human who ever walked the earth, because he's not just a human being. He is also God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity in the flesh. And there's never been anyone like him, God who became a man. And so he's the greatest man ever, because he's God himself. Jesus in the text here calls himself the Son of Man. That's how he begins to teach. The Son of Man is going to be delivered. But stop at the Son of Man. This is the most common title that Jesus calls himself in his ministry. He calls himself the Son of Man 30 plus times, way more than any other title he gives to himself. He's always calling himself the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Why? Well, the Son of Man title basically goes back to Daniel chapter 7. And in Daniel 7, if you read there, Daniel sees one like a Son of Man, he calls him, the Son of Man, ascending into heaven. This man's going to go into heaven, and this man is given all authority and all power and all blessing to rule the universe. Who is this man that can ascend into heaven and has all power and authority to rule everything, to be King of Kings? He's going to conquer sin. He's going to conquer death. He's going to conquer hell. He's going to conquer the whole world. He's going to conquer everything and ascend and reign over everything as King of Kings. And that's the Son of Man. And so every time Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, he would have us think of that. I'm not just a human being. I'm not just a prophet, a teacher. I don't look like I'm the Son of Man. I don't look like God. I travel around in humble clothes. I'm a carpenter's son. I'm going to get killed. I'm going to die. It's all going to be bad. But I am the Son of Man, and I will ascend. After I rise from the grave, I will ascend, and I will rule all things as the King of the universe. Every time he calls himself the Son of Man, I am the greatest human who ever lived. And he points to our future of ascension and glory and victory, even though it looks bad for a little while at times. I got three brothers, and we used to play football in our backyard. And myself and Mark were a team. We're the middle boys. And my older brother Dave and my younger brother Jim were the other team. And I was bigger than Jim. And so when they had the ball, I would always say to Jim that I was who? Middle linebacker from the Chicago Bears. Really mean, really ugly, really tough. And that was the day you could actually tackle someone without a flag. I called myself Buckus because I'm a Bears fan. Buckus is going to get you. Big, strong dick. I'm going to get you, Jim. I was trying to intimidate him. I'm going to get you. I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to tackle you. This is Buckus. This is Buckus. Now, sadly, he was faster than me. And speed usually wins in football. So he just kind of ran around me and said, "Bye, Buckus. That's football." When Jesus says he's the Son of Man, he is strong, he is powerful, and no one will get around him. He will defeat sin. He will defeat the devil and all the demons and all hell and all sickness and disease. No one's going to escape him. He's strong and powerful, the greatest man. And then secondly, he has the greatest mission. And what is that mission? He tells us in a very simple, straightforward way. He's now taught, and this is so important, he pulls his disciples aside. He's teaching them privately. This is a high point that's so important that they listen now. He's going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will what? He will rise. Simple, straightforward. The greatest mission that anyone's ever had. The greatest job anyone's ever had. The greatest task and goal anyone's ever had. To be killed, to die, and after 3 days rise again? Really? This is his mission. To save the world. No one's ever had a mission like that. To save the whole world, past, present, future. To reconcile us to the Father by his death. To be the once and for all sacrifice for my sins, your sins, Thomas's sins, the sins of the whole world. To rise again. And destroy death, to give us the resurrection, to give us glory, to make peace with God, to bring us back to God. That's his mission. And it's not just talk, he does it. He saves the world. Very, very important. He calls them off privately to talk about it. You've all heard of Fortune 500 companies. Wow, they're really, really good companies. Invest your money. They're really doing well. Well, the Christian church with Jesus is a Fortune Forever company. For because of the work of Jesus, his death and resurrection, we'll go on forever and ever and ever in eternity and eternal glory. Invest. Put your faith in Jesus. Come to church. Be a part of the Fortune Forever company in Jesus, the conqueror. You know, I watch a little bit of TV now and then, not much. And I watch a little bit of America's Got Talent. And these people have interesting talents every once in a while, although a lot of it's not all that good. And they have this guy on there they call the Regurgitator. Have you seen him? Now, he has an interesting story. He was a little boy who was very poor, and people would give him change, and he was afraid they would steal it from him because he was very poor, so he would swallow the money to keep it from people stealing it from him. But then he had this ability to regurgitate it and bring his money back up and have his money when he was alone. And he perfected this regurgitation technique, and now he's on America's Got Talent. He can regurgitate eggs and apple slices and money, anything you want, he can bring back up. And it's a big show. He can bring that back up? Wow! Well, who really cares? Silliness. We have a God who can come back from the dead. He can come out of a tomb. He can bring himself out from death and hell and be alive and conquer all. Let's see someone with talent do that. Die and rise again of your own accord and your own power. Jesus is the resurrector, the resurrectionist. He's the life and the resurrection, the way, the truth, the life, the greatest mission to deliver the world, and he's done it. Not just talk. We often talk and talk about all the stuff we're going to do. We never do it. He's done it. It's finished. And that leads to the last point. He has the greatest mercy for mankind. And oh, the mercy is on display here in Mark 9. Oh, his mercy for his poor, pathetic disciples. They've been with him now for two and a half years. They should know Jesus. They see him heal people and drive out demons and feed 5,000, feed 4,000, calm storms. And now again, he's taking them aside saying, this is really a highlight, guys. I'm going to die and rise to save the world. Listen. And they don't even listen. They don't understand. They don't ask questions. They're arguing about who's the greatest. And yet, the kindness of Jesus, his patience, he doesn't excommunicate them. All right, you guys are out. Get out of here. I'll get some new guys in that actually will listen. He doesn't berate them. He's patient, and he teaches some more, and he still goes and dies for them, and he rises for them, and forgives them, and has them be his apostles. And so as we go off on our merry ways, and we argue in our selfishness about who's the greatest, and all the wonderful things we're going to do, because we're also very, very selfish, he forgives, and he brings back the straying sheep, and he teaches, and he has mercy. And his mercy is greatly illustrated by bringing this little child into their midst. We don't know who this little boy is, but how he exalts this little child. This is the mercy of Jesus. Notice Jesus sits down. He sits down with his disciples. He doesn't stand over them saying, come on, I'm the Son of Man, I'm God. Now you guys listen. He sits with them. He's humble. He's the servant. I'm with you. I love you. I forgive you. I'm here with you. And he brings this little child into his midst, and Jesus is sitting, so he has the child stand over himself. He exalts the child. The child now gets all the attention. All eyes are on the child. This is Jesus. This is what he did for Thomas. All eyes on Thomas. I exalt you by forgiving you and washing you and making you my child. This is Christ. He humbles himself and exalts us. He becomes last that we be first. He gets no attention except to be killed, that we get all the attention of heaven upon us and the pleasure of the Father and the blessings of the Father. This is the mercy of Jesus. And note, precisely, Jesus takes the boy in his arms. So he's sitting, Jesus, he has the boy sitting, he hugs him. And as Jesus hugs the little boy, what's the little boy see when he comes running to Jesus? He sees a cross. The cross is, Jesus here is giving a picture of the cross. You want to see mercy, fellas? You want to see one who will become last, the least? Look at me. This is what I will do for little boys and little girls and grown-ups, men and women and sinners and everybody. Good, bad, and in between. I will put out my arms on a cross and hug the world and say, I love you and I forgive you and I won't hold it against you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The great, great mercy of Jesus, arms open to a little child, arms open to you and me at the cross. I read where, you know, if you hug someone and give them a kiss, you know how many germs you exchange? About 80 million They say with a hug and a kiss, you exchange 80 million germs. Ew! Will you ever kiss your wife again, men? Well, yeah, I guess so. 80 million? When Christ at the cross hugs us, when he hugs Thomas in baptism, when he kisses us in communion, as he puts his body and blood to our mouths and gives us a wonderful kiss and says, I love you, I forgive you. Oh, there's a great exchange. He gives us the 80 million, trillion, billion blessings of heaven, and he takes our 80 million, trillion sins. That's the exchange at the cross. He takes our sin and gives us salvation. He takes our wickedness and gives us righteousness. He takes our hell and gives us heaven. He takes our death and gives us life. He takes us as we are and gives us himself as he is, God himself in glory. Now that's mercy. And he won't stop hugging. He won't stop kissing his church. He won't stop washing and forgiving. His arms are ever open. I love you. I forgive you. I won't hold it against you. I'm the sacrifice for your sin. Now come follow me. And go be a servant yourself now. And welcome the least of these. So is there an argument, First Lutheran? Who is the greatest? There's no argument. You don't have to think twice. Jesus is the greatest of the greatest of the greatest. The greatest man with the greatest mission. And he has the greatest mercy for you and I. Praise be to Jesus, the greatest. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, Lord, there is no argument. You are the greatest. You are God in the flesh, the one who died, the Lamb, the one who rose again, the Lion, and has conquered all. You have ascended and are preparing us a place in heaven. You forgive us our sins. Your arms are ever open to us. You love us and care for us. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit that we also be servants, humble, reaching out to others as you reach out to us. Bless your church. We thank you for your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.